Blog Talk Radio.
Funkier than that, you know, guys. Hey, everybody. Hello, this is Wardell Potts Jr., and you've tuned in to Solar Records Radio, and I am completely excited, first of all, because every Friday here on Solar Records Radio, we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records, the little company that could and did, and we had all been blessed because of it. And so we want to thank Mr. Dick Griffey again for pursuing his dreams and making it happen for all of us. And that's real talk. Man, I'm so excited the other reason I'm so excited is because Carlos is here, guys. We're going to have a great conversation. So I want to make sure everybody's, you know, tuned in. I mean, you know, just, you know, grab a seat. We're going to have a great conversation talking to his brother about his life story in regards to the music business and how he got involved in it. So just kick back. Carlos Green from The Deal is in the house, and we are all going to be blessed because of it. I've been wanting to talk to these guys for a couple of years. So, hey, you know, thanks to Astrid pursuing and making things happen. One of my associate producers, her and Greg, much love to you, Greg and Astrid. Thank you guys so much for blessing us here at Solar Records Radio. Hey, guys, so we're going to just get going, right? Because I want to get right down to this as soon as possible. I look so forward to it. So here we go. I'm going to play this song. And then when we come back, hey, Carlos will be in the house. We'll be right back. Back in the Solar days, and that was a fun song to record for Shalimar. with Leon Silvers, myself, Kevin Spencer, well, pretty much Dynasty. and Stephen Shockley from Lakeside. We had a great time working with those guys. Man, oh man, it was a wonderful, wonderful days. But you know what, guys? It is time. It's time to get to my brother. So let me bring him on the line right now. Mr. Carlos Green, are you there, my brother?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Dude, it's been a long time. I've been chasing you. You didn't even know it. You know, I've been chasing you for a long time, man. So I am so grateful, man. I'm so appreciative for you to be here. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. But I had no idea you was chasing me. That's a new one.
Yeah, dude. Yes, I kept on saying, you know, I have every group on here except for the deal. How do I get these guys? And, you know, God blessed me and got you here. And so I'm just so grateful, man. And so how you been? How you been doing through this pandemic, man?
I'm good, man. You know, it's been rough on me like it's been rough on everyone. But, you know, you learn to adapt. And the main thing is, every day above ground is a good day.
Amen.
So if you survived it, you done well, because a lot of us didn't survive it.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, man. Well, I'm just grateful, first of all, like you said, to just be above ground. I lost two of the members from Dynasty in this last.
Everybody lost somebody during the pandemic. Everybody.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. And this just happened this year. You know, William Shelby, we just lost William Shelby. And
wow.
And then Richard Randolph, you know, both were in Dynasty. And, you know, now they're gone, man. And we got a new record coming out in December. So it's like, whoa.
Hey, look at him, man. When I first heard about that, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of those were guys who had a lot of friends. So that affected a lot of people. So I would like to get my condolences out to everyone who preached by that.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. You know, and we all family, right? This is, we all came through the story. All through the Solar family, man. So, hey, brother, welcome home to Solar Records Radio, where we will keep your legacy alive right here, my brother. So, Carlos, I want you to take a moment and just share with the wonderful fans and listeners who love the music that you did. Can you just share your story, man? Like, how you got started? How did you even become a singer, you know, as a young man? You know, just kind of navigate us through and take your time, because it's on you. It's all on you. So take your time and just kind of share out as you would.
Okay, well, the journey probably started back in high school, maybe elementary school. Me and D and K.O. and L.A., we all went to the same elementary school, junior high school, and high school.
Really?
Yeah. So we were always, you know, seeing each other time and time, but not that often, you know. And I was an athlete. And I used to see him at the games, and they would holler at me, especially L.A. He's always been that kind of guy who was, you know, right
friendly.
There looking for some opportunity to get better.
Right.
You know, his success does not surprise me at all. You know, you always knew, even when we were young kids, like, I want to hang out with him because he's going places.
He's going places.
I had already knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I went to the Army, did my time in the Army. And when I got out of the Army, they had left and went to Indianapolis to start a band. And I got me a few jobs or whatever, but one day I got a call from D saying, you want to come up here and hang out? I'm like, sure. And I went up there and hung out, and they were playing music and having fun, and the chemistry was just right off the bat. You know, it's like we'd known each other forever, because we had known each other for
a long
time.
Right.
And we just clicked. And the best thing about it is we were a self-made band. We didn't actually need nobody to do nothing for us. We could do everything ourselves, the road jobs, the driving, the playing. And, you know, we got together and put the deal together and took Indianapolis by storm. We had to leave here. And I would suggest that for anybody who's really into their careers, whatever, it's hard to make it in your hometown. It'd probably be better if you go somewhere else to get started where people don't know you and don't judge you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was L.A.'s idea, and we got up out of here, and the rest is history.
Well, let me just – and so I'm going to rewind the tape a little bit. I'm going to back up because I really want your details, bro. So so at what instrument did you play an instrument? I know you said you were an athlete. And I want to know what sport you played too. But as a musician, a singer, were you a musician singer or were you just a singer?
Well, I was a singer, and I could play the guitar, I could play keyboards, but not good enough to play in a band.
Okay.
You know, I could just mess around with them because of my natural talent.
Okay.
But I was mostly a singer. But I think that I was chosen for the band more of my image, the way I looked and carried myself. The deal had a serious kind of image that they wanted to have. It wasn't all about who's the best talent. Who's that? When L.A. picked out all the guys from the deal, he picked out everybody from a different band. You know, they used to have a thing called Battle of the Bands, and all the high schools, they would have, you know, a talent contest. And he got, like, the best guy in all of the bands to put them together.
Mm.
So it wasn't about as much talent as it was the look and the attitude and the drive, you know, it ain't always the most talented artists who make it.
Right, absolutely.
You know, some of your most talented artists are at home in their basements making songs, but they have other things they're doing and they don't have that vision.
Now, your basement, was that in Cincinnati? Were you guys in Cincinnati doing this?
We were in Cincinnati again. We practiced at Dean Thomas in L.A.'s house. Well, we could practice that. It didn't matter.
Okay.
We were probably the hungriest band in the world at that time. We wanted it bad. We lived, breathed it every day, every night.
Wow. So listen, what sport did you play?
I played all of them. I played basketball, baseball.
On the teams in school?
No. Okay. In high school, I only played football.
Okay.
But I played baseball like for maybe 18, 19 years in a row. I played ever since I was 6.
Wow.
That's my favorite sport. But then as you get older, you find different things. You see different guys who you look up to. And it's just always, I just always wanted to be something, you know, always looking to try to see, make myself different. So whatever sport they was doing, I would say I could play it, and I would learn as I'm playing it. But
yes,
I actually won 2 Golden Glove championships. Boxing is probably my most successful sport.
Okay.
I was good at that because the traveling, I like to travel. You know, they went out every weekend going to another city, and I had never went anywhere before, you know. From the South. And that's what I loved. But then, you know, as I got better and better, got into bigger tournaments and started fighting tougher guys, it got really rough, and then one day I got cut in the tournament.
Oh.
And I won that fight, too, but I tasted my own blood for the first time, and I was like, nah.
That's okay.
So I stopped swinging and started singing.
Right, there you go. Oh, man, that's good to know. Because I trained at Joe Frazier Gym as a young man. I'm from Philly, right? And so I remember – and I remember I got in the ring, I did spa with someone, and man, he hit me so hard. I'm like, and the guy was like, no, he's new. It was too late because the punch came, man, and he hit me in my head. I saw stars. I was like, okay, I'm going back to the basement to practice.
When you taste your own blood for the first time, that's a real crazy experience, dude.
I'm telling you, man. Well, so let me just ask you, Carlos, let me ask you this. So, all right, so back then, you know, you were tampering with the other things. When you started singing, were you getting, like, compliments where people were like, whoa, hey, dude, you know you really could sing?
No, I wasn't really, because I was not really that good of a singer.
Uh-huh.
I had tone problems because I like the Beatles and those kind of stuff. Music, I always liked music, but I was always like acting like John Lennon or acting like, you know, Mick Jagger. Not really singing the part. So when I actually had to sing the part, I actually had to learn how to do that. And lucky enough, I was with, you know, some great singers who, as the years turned, I got better and better. But mostly it was just because of my style and my swag before
right.
swag was even called that, you know. We
right.
we wanted certain kind of people to be, you know, in that era, the Prince era and Maserati and the time.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
Was, the new stuff was coming out, and we was just good at it, you know.
Okay.
Like, when we did the reunion, Babyface's first lines was like, you know, y'all don't know this, but back in A's, we used to wear, you know, lip gloss and hairline, eyeliner. He was serious.
Yeah.
He used to wear the clothes and all that stuff before any of
Yeah,
these
Prince
bands.
Was doing that too, right? He was doing that too.
Prince was the first, but
yeah.
he was
yeah.
right there with yeah. him. I think we're the closest thing.
Right.
He, I mean, I heard from one of the guys in the band who talked to him. And said he remember us coming up like that. It
wow.
was fun.
So this is the thing. I didn't know Babyface was in the band with you in L.A. and the rest of you guys?
Yeah, well, Babyface came later when we went to Indianapolis.
Okay.
That's where we met him at. We met him through Midnight Star.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about that.
I can actually remember. Well, L.A. told the story one time on a Breakfast Club, I think, but... He was right when it happened. He didn't mention me, but I was there too. And I remember going, you know, after lunch and just talked to Reggie, who was producing us at the time. And Kenny was in the studio doing the demo track for, what's the song? Play Another Love Song this time. That song, Soul Jam.
Yeah, Soul Jam.
And he was singing it. And once he started, I can remember looking at L.A. like, dang, you know, who was that? You know, and he was doing, and then he came and wanted to hang out with us, and we hung out, and he fit right in like a glove.
Wow.
But there was a lot of jealousy involved at the time because it was obvious that this guy was going to be, make an impact on the band, and a couple of people didn't want him in, so it took a couple of meetings.
You
know,
oh.
L.A. talked about it on the Breakfast Club. He was right. He said right. it wasn't no hard decision, but it was. We fought about it.
Right, right.
But I wasn't one of the ones who didn't want him. I just want to make that straight.
There you go.
I voted for him to be in.
He like, I'm showing the love, man. I got to be real. I got to be real.
Well,
hey,
we were roommates for like 6 months. We went on tour. He was my first roommate. So we was together, we roomed for about 6 years together, so we became very good friends, very good. We actually bought a condo together, you know, when
wow.
we first got a little money. You know, when you first get that piece of money and you just, you know, want to go get, a lot of people want cars and all that, but we want, you know, let's get a place. So we all got condominiums in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, we lived together for 6 years.
That's awesome, man. Whoa, that's pretty cool. I love it.
That's my guy,
now,
man.
What's that?
That's my guy. And
right.
everything you see with him is real. There's no, you know, no funniness about him at all. He's just a realistic person. That's why he's in the face.
I'm going to come back to that in a minute because I want to share something about him. That just happened recently, which is great. But I wanted to ask you, when you guys met Babyface, how old were you guys around?
I have no idea. We were young, early 20s.
Early 20s.
Yeah,
okay.
Mid-20s. Yeah, we were still kids.
Why did you guys go and meet with Midnight Star?
We didn't actually meet with them. I think we opened up for them in a show or something, and they were big fans of theirs. You know, Reggie was like, L.A. and Reggie was really tight. So Reggie probably was the first person who believed in us.
Okay. Reggie Calvary.
Yeah, okay. And still today, we still, they like brothers to me.
Oh, that's awesome. Reggie and Vincent? Or just the whole, okay, cool. Yeah,
well, Reggie Calvary is a genius. Well, everybody knows that. He just probably didn't get as much publicity as your Timberlands and your Pharrells and all those guys.
Yeah,
but
yeah, but he's, yeah, he's.
LA, Reggie was in that league.
Right.
He was the first person that actually told me I was a star.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to sing that song. Body Talk, I really wasn't into it. It was all right. But D didn't want it, so I didn't want it either. So, but Reggie's like, hey, this is you. How right he was.
Yeah. He's like, come on. All right, so let me ask you. So you guys, so at the time when you met Midnight Star, were they already signed to Solar?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were already doing. As a matter of fact, we were never really signed to Solar.
Okay.
We were signed to Midnight Star Productions, who was signed to Solar.
Oh, Midnight Star Productions?
Yeah, it was Midnight Star Productions. We were signed to them. But what happened is, once we got in, Dick took a liking to us, so he pulled us in, so we finally signed a deal with Solar. But in the beginning, we were signed to Midstar Productions.
Wow. So would you say that Midnight Star or Reggie and them, they pulled you guys into Solar?
Sort of. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
All right, cool. And that's when you guys just started blowing up, obviously. That was an amazing group. Now you got a group with LA on drums and Face. What does Face play? I know I see him with the guitar in his hand.
He played keyboards at first. He came in as a keyboard player, but then we lost our guitar player. So the guitar player wasn't able for a show one night, and so LA was like, "Well, then can you just move the guitar?" And they brought somebody in to play keyboards. And he was just so good that, okay, you know, let's keep him there. And we kept him there, and the guitar player never came back.
All right. So you guys, you know, coming from that there's so much talent that came out of Ohio. It's just ridiculous. It's like a mega for funk. It's just everybody, it seems like, you know, people would try to even say, I'm from Philly, but I would have had a problem. But our guitar player, Pepper Ernest Reed, is from Cincinnati. I believe it was Cincinnati, Ohio, and with Dynasty. And so it's just like, it was, and William Shelby from Dayton, Ohio, right? And
yep.
So we had a couple of Ohioans in our band as well. And So, man, I want you to tell us about this song. I want people to hear a little bit of you as they've already heard you so much already. But I want them to hear the song that you were talking to me about and just tell us a little bit about it. It's Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, you know what? Shoot 'Em Up was, the deal was a very self-contained group, so we never really took songs from people. We could write and play our own songs. 99.9% of all the songs on Deal Records were written, arranged, and produced by the deal. But, you know, the business is full of politics.
Absolutely.
And Dick, the song, he bought the song in. As a matter of fact, I was out of the band for a couple of years before that. I came back, and we was looking for new songs. So Dick brought the song in. And, you know, and Darnell, who was the lead singer at the time, didn't want to sing it. He said, you know, it's not the deal, it ain't my style, whatever. And we went to a Laker game with Dick. I remember it like it was yesterday. And that's the first time I had ever seen the Lakers live. Remember the Magic and Worthy in all those days,
mm-hmm.
The Lake Show.
Yep, the Lake Show.
And I realized he took me to that game to And then he was in the bar, and he was like, I need you to sing this song. You know, what I'm going to say now.
A little backdoorish.
That was Big Griffey, dude.
That was Big Griffey.
He was just good at what he does.
Yeah.
Well, I said, okay. So me and Kenny got together, and we broke it down and changed it. Put a little R&B in it. It's all me and him doing all the vocals, and we took it to Dick, and he loved it.
Oh, wow.
It ended up being a single, top 10.
There you go. Wow, man. Well, let's take a listen to it, and then we'll come back and finish chopping up with Carlos Green from The Deal here on Solar Records Radio. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that's smooth right there. Man, that is smooth. I'm going to have to play that on my jazz show, man.
And we didn't want it. Dick talked us into doing that. And,
yeah.
That's one of my favorite Dill songs.
I mean,
it did well.
What's that?
It did well. You know what? For those who've seen the video, I had lunch with the director, and we talked about where we should go with that. So that was part of my concept, that I was that kid who used to go to the movies all the time. And people still do that, because my son, when he was younger, he used to do it. And you see that character, you probably did this. And you see that character, you're like, I could do that.
Exactly.
So it was always a dream to get, I'm a big movie buff. So it was always a dream to see myself on screen. So we worked it out where I was the person in the theater watching it and the star of the movie. You know, that's just straight up dream right there for a lot of people. They just won't say it.
I know. That was so cool, man. I loved it. I mean, and I loved how you just took that girl's popcorn, too, without asking.
Yeah, well, that was supposed to be a Me Too movement. You can't do that. You better ask twice.
You better ask somebody. You said twice, right? Hey, Dick Griffey was pretty smart. You know, of course, he was smart enough to, you know, have, you know, Solar Records himself and just blow it up the way he did. But, I mean, there's some inside stuff that people don't know. I mean, like what you just told us about what he did with you, because he was like, okay, they push him back on the song, but I'm going to figure out a way to get this done. And he did it strategically, which is really cool, because going to a Laker game, man, that's big time. You know?
That's big time seduction back in the day.
Yeah.
You know what? That kind of stuff still goes on.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like some guys will go, you know, play golf and make business deals.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the same concept.
Yes.
Same concept.
Some of the best deals are made, you know, on events where you socialize.
Exactly.
You know,
always, yeah.
And always in the boardroom.
Right.
That's
Let me ask, have you ever been over to Studio Masters?
Where's that at?
Studio Masters is in Beverly Hills. That's where we did all the, you know, that's where Leon Silvers and his posse, which is us, we lived in Studio Masters right in Beverly Hills off of Beverly Boulevard, about 20 minutes from Solar Records.
I've been in a lot of studios in L.A., but they were like just appearances to sing background on some songs or something.
Okay.
So I really didn't know what it was. I just know most of our major stuff was done on Cahuenga and at that place where Babyface balled.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
He done half for like 30 years.
Right, yeah.
He's been amazing, man. He's been in the same spot for 30 years.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. His wife took it over at one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Babyface, man, that brother did so good for himself. So proud of him. And I just want to say this. You remember I said I wanted to mention something about him in terms of his, you know, his awesomeness when it comes down to being real, being a real cat. You know, we had the celebration of Solar Records a few years back, and we all met at City Hall, and they had this wonderful thing, and Face and I were next to each other. And, you know, and he was just so, you know, just so kind and everything. And so they were like figuring out, okay, who's going to talk? Who's going to, you know, so Face like, I have something to say. And so he said, okay. So he got up and he said, you know, he made, I don't know if you saw it, was on the news. It was in a few different places. And he was just saying how much he appreciated Dick Griffey giving him that opportunity to be who he is today, giving him the opportunity to, you know, just guide me as a young man that wanted to be something in the music business. And Dick had, you know, helped him and shared some things with him and stuff and really blessed him. And I thought, man, you know, that's so humble of him to give that credit, you know, to Dick Griffey like that. And it's just beautiful, man. And so what you said earlier definitely applied to that situation in regards to his character. And so thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, Dick Griffey was, in his sense, a victim of his own time. The way he done things is the way everybody done things. Berry Gordy, Lonnie Simmons, all the big-time guys back then. Because that was the way to get things done. Now that I look back, I remember, like everybody else, complaining. You always going to find something to complain about that didn't go your way as a young artist. But everything he done, I would not change, not one thing of it, because if it wasn't for him, you know, I would have never got that chance. So after his death is when I really started seeing, like, okay, I didn't see nothing bad that he done. I can remember, and everybody can remember this, especially from the Solar family, is in that lobby for the first time waiting to get the meeting with him, and then that trip upstairs to his office and walking in there and being in a mogul's office, like, for the first time in my life. And I was like, okay, I can like this.
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And him so humble and so telling me, look at here, you my guy, whatever. I had a really good relationship with him.
Yes, that's awesome.
If we got time, I would like to tell you, like, a quick story.
Oh,
about
please.
This real quick.
It's your
we got time.
It's your time, bro.
Okay. A lot of people don't know this, but after the second album, a little turmoil went on in between the bands, and I ended up getting fired. Because I figured, okay, I'm going to go out and try to do a solo venture, you know, starting to feel myself. You know, first few records I sing, go number one, I'm like, okay, maybe I can do this on my own. We wouldn't get along. Money, we start to make money. Money always causes problems.
Yes, always.
And I left the band. And they did an album without me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know it was called Hip Chicks. And when they turned the album in, the Griffey said, well, where Carlos? And he called me and said, so you ain't singing nothing on the album? I'm saying, dude, they put me out the group. And he hung up without saying anything. About 2 days from then, L.A. calls me and say, hey, you want to come back? So I was in the middle of my project at the
you
time.
You want to come back?
And I said, no, I don't want to come back. And I hung up. And he called me again. And I finally forgot that he talked. And he kept me going back. And thus the album, Eyes of a Stranger. So they took half of the Hit Chicks album and then the other half of my things, and they put together and made that record, which to date is our biggest record.
Wow.
And that was because of Dick Griffey. Nobody's ever told that story before but me.
Wow. Hold on. What was the name of the record? The biggest? Oh, the
one that they rejected. It was called Hip Chicks.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It was like the Darnell was doing all the songs. They went to a whole nother... trying to change his image. I mean, you can go on the internet, it's pictures of the album and everything. You know,
wow.
Dick was like, you know, So for him, I wouldn't even have done Shoot 'Em Up.
Wow.
None of that stuff.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Mr. Griffey. Once again.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
Every day. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, how did... good question. How did you guys... get the name, the deal?
I think that was L.A. He was, he told me, I mean, we were talking about it one night, and he was saying that we could deal with anything, man. We've been dealing with all this stuff, and we got put down by a lot of people. Let's get out of here. So they went to NAP, and then they came up, they had already had it when I got in the group, so I had nothing to do with that. It was some L.A., one of L.A.'s, geniuses, moments, He's okay. The man.
All right, I'm
another one that's underrated.
Yeah.
He's in, to me, he's right in there with Quincy and Berry Gordy and Dick Griffey. Dick Griffey was actually his hero. A lot of people don't know that.
What's that? Dick Griffey was whose hero?
L.A. Reid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
L.A. Reid wanted to be, he always said, I'm going to be the next Dick Griffey.
Ah, wow. He did well, too. He did very well. And,
he did very well, I say to myself.
He did well. Man. Is he still over there doing A&R?
I don't know what he's doing.
Okay.
You know, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Whatever
okay.
he's doing, it's going to work.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a hard worker. He makes, and plus he's a drummer. You know, I'm biased.
Babyface and L.A. are the hardest working people I've ever been around in my life.
Wow.
They work when they, like, zone in on a project. Nothing
uh-huh.
else matters. Matter of fact, I got most of my work ethics from them.
Wow.
The fact is that you can't keep up with them. So if they wasn't the best, they outworked everybody. They lived in the studio. They lived for that.
Right.
And that only. And it got to the point where they were making more money outside the band than it was in the band.
Right, right.
And that was the demise of the deal.
Right, yeah. Yeah, people usually chase the money, right?
Yeah. Plus, like the Beatles, sometimes you can have too much talent.
Right. Yep. There's a lot going on there with that group, your group, man. All right, so let me, so these questions I'm asking you are coming from overseas. I have another one for you from overseas is, how did they develop the image of the group, and how important was the group's image?
Well, image was everything. I mean, it was more, we played simple music. But we want to give you something to look at,
mm-hmm.
because if you can find an ugly picture and play a beautiful song to it and let someone listen to it, then get a beautiful picture and play an ugly song to it, and I guarantee you they'll choose the ugly picture. music is the last thing you. I don't know if music. Travels faster than sight. Do you know which one is faster?
Well, it's powerful.
Can I see you before I hear you?
Wow.
That's a tough one, ain't it?
Can I see you before?
They're battling each other all the time. It, there is no way you can say which one is faster.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
the individual, you know, that happens mm-hmm. too. Blind people can hear way more than we can see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they knew how to put those images together, the music with the sight. So L.A.'s big thing was image. You know, if you see something you like, you will look at it. You'll wait, you know, you can wait more to figure out if you like it or not. You know, it's like a man's
yeah.
point of view with women. We see what we like. Might not look good to you, but that might look beautiful to me. So everybody doesn't see or hear the same things. You see where I'm going with that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yes.
it's all about sight. That's
yes.
why great artists, you know, they change their image every 10 years.
Yeah. You got
Michael,
yeah.
Prince,
right,
everybody.
Right.
Because
yeah.
you got to keep it interesting. So L.A. knew that, and that's what made the deal was a much bigger. We didn't have the greatest songs, probably, but I guarantee your album covers were awesome.
Yes, yes.
And it was fun.
Here's one last question from overseas. In the early 90s, you injected an element of new jack swing into the music. How did you feel about it and how music and oh, how did you feel about how music was changing then?
You talking to the deal or me personally?
Well, it says you, so maybe you personally.
Okay. Well, me personally, I didn't like it. you know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all right, you know, with that one, I think. But the fact is that I don't think L.A. and Babyface liked it. And it kind of went away from what we was trying to do. So, you know, you go, I guess you go where, you know, where the work is. So they got into that and they started doing that. And it really wasn't the deal style, so that probably has something to do with our demise, too. Things change, man. You know, things change.
Right.
I like the new Jack. I liked it. I liked it. No, I didn't
okay.
have a problem with it.
I think they're saying that it was an invitation to a Love album.
Yeah, that's the one we did with our, after they left. We got a new deal with Capitol, and we ended up doing that in... Dick Griffey and Capitol got into a big fight, and
oh boy,
everything happened. So that album was mostly a political album. It was fighting over the money.
Oh boy, money again, right? Money again.
Yeah, everyone's always money.
Yeah,
you know, it's America.
It can be the root of all evil, right? By the way, I just want to say thank you. And I've held you on here for a long time, but I appreciate, you know, this conversation is good for me. You got a shout out from Astrid in Amsterdam. She says to say hello to you.
Hello to her.
Hello to you,
Astrid.
You
know what? She
hears
you. The internet is really, you know, has really brought my career back to life again because I got some really good internet friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably within the next month or so, I'm probably going to, you know, move on to Instagram. I ain't done all that stuff yet. I'm new on it. But I got a few friends from Amsterdam, you know, especially since I've been talking to you, about three or four since I've just been talking to you.
Yeah.
So to them, I said, hey, and I was definitely going to come down there one day and show them some love.
Yeah, so we went there, and it was amazing, an amazing place to go. We went there. We went to the UK. But all the I just love performing overseas, period. And have you ever been to South Africa?
No. We almost went one time, but something happened, and I think just L.A. went. You know, something happened with the concert or whatever.
Okay.
Just one of the things I remember that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's never too late.
Never too late, bro. Just come on. All right, man. So now I want to ask you, do you have a website or anything people could follow you? Are you working on your own project now?
Yeah, I am. But I don't have a website, none of that yet. I'm just on Facebook, and which is the easiest way to get contact somebody.
Okay.
I'm not on the big stuff yet because I just started.
Okay.
Really with it. And now I'm going to go out and do some stuff on my own and see what happens.
Okay.
Because the deal right now is at the point where we're not really doing nothing right here. We don't have some stuff going on with people in their personal lives.
Yeah. People don't understand that. I mean, you know, they see us as a band, and then they wonder, so, well, where is everybody? Why are you not doing this? The life goes on. People are doing, you know, they got other things that have happened in their lives, and, you know, and you got a lot going on. So, especially after 40-something years, it's like, hold on. People, if you didn't continue, like the Whispers have been continuing to perform and they're always together, that's one thing. But when you break up and then you're trying to get back together, oh, God, that's a tough one right there because people are doing what bring the money. They're following the money, whatever's. You know, like Freeze, for instance, he's in the Morning Stay in the Time. That was our keyboard player. Now he's a bass player for Morning Stay in the Time. You know,
and you can't blame him for that.
No, I'm happy for him. As a matter of fact, yep. You know, we gotta love each other, man. We gotta love each other.
We have no choice.
That's right, man. Well, the problem is that some people do choose to not love and create issues and stuff, and that just shows their character, you know, who they are and stuff.
And,
so,
and those are very unhappy people.
Yep.
So the best thing, they done you a favor.
Yep.
You don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yep.
Because
that's right.
It's going to be
that's
poison right. around everything they do if your feelings are that fucking vague. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all good. It's all good.
Y'all, can y'all bleep that?
It's all good. Yeah, we got you. So I want you to, before you leave, I want you to tell us about this song you wanted me to play. I think it's Two Occasions. I think that's the third song you had. Wasn't it Two Occasions?
Okay.
Or was it something else?
That's a good one, you know, especially since we just talked about Dick. When I came back to the, that song was not on the Hip Chicks album.
Wow.
So when I got back, so they gave us another, I guess, 2 weeks to get my stuff together. So me and Kenny got together, and he played me a bunch of songs that they had. And Two Occasions was one of them. And he played it to me, and I was like, wow, that's, who was that? He told me, yeah, that's one D did, and I changed it and everything. So we did it, a duo together. We took it back to L.A., and they loved it. He said, but I think we should make it, all of y'all sing on it. So they gave D a verse, and they gave me a verse, and they gave Kenny a verse. And that was one of the first songs. That was actually the first song that we played that all of us sang on.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, and that's an amazing song. I just love, you know, the whole concept of that song. Melody. Yeah. And so I saw you guys live on TV, right? Was that about maybe last year? Was that last year or something? Two years ago?
2 years ago. The reunion?
Yeah.
That was LA's idea. I was really surprised when they called me for that.
Oh, wow. How was that for you? What city were you guys in?
Man, that was a ball. I'm tell you something. We was there for a week. We probably took practice twice. We just hung out. We just hung together, joking, doing all the stuff we used to do, you know. We
practice,
mess around, and we start playing, and we clicked, like, right away.
Oh, man.
We had never been apart. Those were some of the best days of my life. We had a ball.
What city were you guys in?
We was in California, and then we went to Washington. We went to Washington to do the show, and they had a storm. So we was locked in there for like for a week where nobody could come out or do nothing.
Wow, what kind of storm was that?
But it was a snowstorm, you know. Seriously.
So was this Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
The president, while he was up there, I mean.
Really?
Obama was president. Yeah, it was crazy. But then the day before the show, they had a storm.
Wow.
And it locked down the whole city for a week.
Wow, so you got to meet Obama?
Yeah.
Dang, dude, I'm so jealous.
Obama and Babyface were like buddies.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they were like best buddies.
Wow.
I don't know why, but he said, you know, we're going to go out and hang out. And he went, it's on the internet. I put pictures over on the internet. Well, not in the White House. You weren't allowed to take pictures.
Right.
But I got a picture of all of us together in a restaurant getting ready to go. Yeah.
Oh, that's classic.
Obama was the guy. That was the guy. This thing, though, he came
still
in.
Still is the guy to me.
When you go in, though, and went in the White House, only ones could go in the Oval was L.A. and Babyface.
Oh, wow.
So when they came out, you know, Obama walked with them.
Okay.
And he was taller than us. We always got tall. We was one of the tallest groups in the business because all of us are close to 6 feet except for L.A. and Babyface. But he talked down. I couldn't believe how tall he was. Like, wow.
Oh, really? He's that tall? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you'd be amazed. He's tall.
Wow.
You know, compared to presidents.
Right. Yeah. Well, George Bush is short. He's like me.
All of them short.
All right, man. Well, is there anything that you would like to say to, you know, your fans and the listeners before we get out of here?
I just want to say that, you know, I'm going to do some new music now, but that don't mean that I'm not real anymore, you know. Babyface told me to do this like 10 years ago. I just never got it. All of my deal fans to, you know, check out the music and see if they like it.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, you know, I hope that you will, you know, let us know when you get ready to drop it, so you come here and share it with the listeners and stuff, you know, so we can support you, man. That would
well,
be awesome.
Well, you know, this relationship is forever now.
Oh, yeah,
and before
cool,
I go, I want to say one thing. You're very good at what you do, man. You really make me feel comfortable, and you know, and the talks we have off the air, you know, are great. Because this is my first one in a while, and they always ask me about an interview because they know I'm gonna give them the real deal.
Right.
But you make me feel comfortable and. That's why I wanted to do it. So I think me and your friendship will be around for a while.
Amen. Let's talk about it, man. I like to get with you anyway, musically, man. I got some ideas for you. So, man, I'm so happy.
Yeah,
the
other stuff we got to take care of.
Yeah, we got. That always. Don't forget, we the basement boys. I grew up in the basement. Let's do what we got to do. Oh, no, and no more blood shed, right?
not a drop.
Don't want to taste my blood again. That was funny. Man, I remember, dude. I was seeing stars. Like, whoa.
Yeah. You know what? When you boxing, you training, and you got all these ideas for everything. But once you get in that fight and you get hit, all that stuff just goes out the window.
I know.
Now it's just, okay, I'm about
that's
to
why,
kill somebody.
That's why you got the trainer on the side. The trainer is really your brain. He's your brain because you can't remember. I told you to keep your gloves up. What's wrong?
I don't know why I tasted it, though. I guess that's a studio in me or something. But you know,
it was the first time
I seen it. For some weird reason, I didn't believe it was mine, and I thought that, like, if I tasted, I could tell. But no, you can't.
I remember
that dude like it was yesterday, dude.
Let's keep that.
You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself until you get in a fight and you know you done took a couple lumps.
And then you get in a situation.
Blood. Then you're like, okay, maybe I should be a knight. It's so true.
This is not for me. This is not for me.
All right,
man.
That's what you get when he hits you.
That's right.
When he hits you when you feel like, why am I here?
Oh man. Lord have mercy. All right, brother. Well, Carlos, man, thank you for blessing us and coming on and sharing your story. But like I told you in the beginning, we will keep your legacy alive here on Solar Records Radio. And when you drop your new single, please come back and let us help you promote it, okay?
Yeah, you'll be one of the first.
All right, man. God bless you, man.
Everybody for listening. I love you guys. And you can come on Facebook. And, you know, I talk back sometimes.
All right. Sounds good. And bye from Astrid. She's waving.
Bye.
All right, guys. Well, you take care, man. And we'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. All right, Carl.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Likewise. Oh, I go for broke. Man, oh, man. What a great, great interview that was. I totally enjoyed myself. And he had me rolling. I was just walking around here in the studio just laughing about when we were talking about the boxing. And then when I went, after we got off the show, I went behind the scenes. I was like, Carlos, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate the interview and stuff. That was great. And he's still laughing about the boxing. And so, man, oh, man. But he's right. Once you get hit, once you're in that ring and you get hit, it's like, oh, my God, what just happened? What happened? Why am I here? And so
oh,
I think
wow.
I got my brother Don Fleming is here. What's up, Don?
I am here, man. I miss it. I'm kicking myself in my own hind parts, man. But I'm going to check the playback, man. I know you guys had a great time talking. Carlos Satin Green, man. It's all good.
Yeah, it was great, man. We had a lot of fun, and you know, I appreciate everybody hooking it up and making Astrid really is the one to hook this one up, and I just between her and Greg, man, I'm getting some great interviews, and I'm so excited about it. So, I wanted to go back and listen to it because I was hoping that you were around, but I know you got business, you're running your business and stuff, so you should listen to it. I know you would have had some great questions and stuff, but it's all good. We got through it without you, and we got it done. And so, you know, the show must go on, right? And so that's
hey, but man, I know you held it down, and of course, I mean, you are in there, you were in the trenches, so I guess it's more of a personal conversation that you have with these artists, and again, the genuine questions that you ask, they come out, and they're again, like I said, there's that word again, genuine. But you know, me, I'm just a fan, and now there's probably some, you know, I try to have, you know, genuineness in my questions too. But like I said,
oh, absolutely,
fan, you were there,
it's the best part about it is different perspectives, right? So, I have my perspective and you have your perspective. I got to tell you one thing, that the perspective of the fans are really more important than the person that was in there, because the ones that were the fans were the ones that was buying the records and making it happen, mm-hmm. you know? So those people, I was just in there with them hoping that you guys would love what we were doing and appreciate what we were doing. And that we could make a living off of doing it, so that we can continue to do it. I'm like inside the thing with him, but the fans' perspective is that's the one, right? Like, you know. So I didn't even think about asking how did you come up with the name, the deal. And he said LA came up with that name, the deal. And I had no idea that Obama was that tall. President Obama. They were hanging out with President Obama, and they're like, he said he's tall. I said, most of us are 6 feet. He's taller than us. Like, whoa,
wow.
Does Don remember the album "Invitation to Love" by The Deal? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, 1993. Yeah, that was Don's era right there. Oh, man. He'll remember that. So if you have a question for him, please feel free to ask the question. He remembers. But anyway, Don, I just really had an amazing conversation with him. I've been trying to get with them for 2 years. You know, I had everybody else from Solar except for The Deal. So Astrid closed that deal for me. Go, girl. We'll show your magic.
All right. Shout out to Astrid. Nice. She's got some pull out there in Amsterdam. Shout out to Astrid again on that one.
Yeah, all my friends been liking her. I'm like liking her page. I'm going, hey, what's going on? They all chasing my poor, chasing my poor girl. She's just like, oh, well, you know. And that's cool.
She's so humble. She's so humble.
Well,
and it's like, and when you talk to her, she's like, thank you so much, Don. I thought this is so cute.
Yeah. She's, Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and so so. But anyway, I want to get
shout
back
out to Greg also.
Oh, Mr. Talented over there. Sheesh. Mm-hmm. The flyers. I just got some more flyers, man. It's sickening. I actually took because of Greg. One of those flyers he made, I went and redid my store. I was like, Greg, can I use that on the clothing? He's like, go for it. And so I did. I ran and got so I got a whole new clothing line. That's why I've been posting it, because my stuff was getting a little stale.
Look at you in your clothing line. Oh, see,
well, you know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about, the mm-hmm. store, the Solar Store.
I know, I'm just ribbing you a little bit. No, yeah, but no, yeah. Man, congratulations, especially like with Greg's, all of his amazing artwork and yeah. putting it on, you know, whether the flyers on the page and things like that. I mean, it was only a matter of time before you guys, you know, start putting it on the merchandise. So, but again, shout out to you guys and everything, but I miss Carlos Satin Green. I am a big fan, and hopefully Ashley can hook it up so he can come on my show.
Oh yeah, well, you know, you gotta
hint.
Yeah, that's why, that was one of the reasons why I was texting you, because I wanted you to meet him so that it would make it, oh yeah, Don, yeah, you know, yeah. So but you know, like I said, I know you're busy. I'm trying to multitask over here. And then I got, when people are writing to me, my screen is not close to me. It's like across my console. My console is long, and then there's the screen, and I can't see. So I'm trying to read that. I'm trying to text. I'm trying to play the songs. I'm trying to make sure my mic don't mess up again. It's just and crazy. And then I get in trouble when I drop the ball. I always get, we can't hear you. It's quiet. I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, here's some truth. Just to explain to all the listeners out there, when I went away, my phone was like at 6%. So, you know, I usually go upstairs and charge my phone. I left and went to Burger King to get something to eat, my wife and I and whatnot, and I'm seeing all of these calls I get, and then I saw you text me from like, I think probably 20 minutes earlier. I said, oh my God, I've got Carlos Green, and I got to call the show. So I just wanted to go ahead and call in and just let everybody know I'm still here. I'm still relevant.
Greg,
I'm trying to
Greg
be.
Greg just said, hi, Don. Hi to Don from Greg. There you go. And the Astros got all these laughing
faces. Hey, guys.
So, yeah, man, she got the LOL faces up there. And but anyway, it's all good, man. And I'm going to get back to some music and stuff. And I just thank you. I thought Greg had a question about the deal, about that
I
album.
I just gave a free – you notice something? I just gave a free advertisement to Burger King. That, you know. Hopefully they don't get on me for that, but no.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, listen, we're going to get back to the music just as we celebrate in the sound of Los Angeles Records today here on Solar Records Radio. And we got the whispers in the background. So let's just kind of turn up this homemade loving song. And we'll be back by the whispers.
Ooh, here you are, crying your eyes out because you think I'm doing you wrong. Just don't know, baby.
Just don't know, baby.
Ooh, after time, the sun won't do. And I know that the rain goes away with you.
There ain't nothing right. Home.
That's Leon Silvers featured on that song. That's Dynasty, and that song is called Man in Love. And what a great job, Lee. Great job, my brother. I hope you guys are good and all is well here. We are getting close to the end of the show. We got about another half an hour or so. But what a wonderful interview once again with Carlos Green from The Deal. That was great, and we were blessed by his story and just a great conversation and a lot of fun at the end. Crazy boy. And but we are good here celebrating the sound of Los Angeles and really blessed to have all of our new people join in the group. I just did a few more approvals, you guys. And so I just want to say thank you for joining our group. We appreciate you joining the Solar Records Radio group page. Please feel free to post and share your thoughts. And, you know, we are a Christian-based group, so we try to, you know, we don't do politics. But because it's a little rough, right? But, you know, we just want to be respectful to each other. That is the bottom line. That is the key. And so we hope that you will, you know, I hope you feel the same. You know, it's really nice to be able to go in a place and everybody's cool, right? And so that's what you get here at Solar Records Radio page. Everybody's cool. It's good people. And we enjoy that. We want to keep it just like that. So thank you so much for joining our group and help us to get it to grow so we can hang around more decent and wonderful people that love music and, you know, whatever it is that we share together as a common bond that brings us together. All right, guys. Well, thanks again. We're going to keep the music going. And I enjoyed the Silvers right before Dynasty. That was really that really is something else special, because I remember being a young man when that song came out, and I was chasing them girls to high school. I was going to the high school dance. I was trying to get somebody to dance. No, I'm just playing. I was a player. I had it going on. Just playing. I had nothing going on. I was a nervous wreck with a big over lopsided afro. I didn't know what I was doing, and I was working all the time for my dad at his gas station. So, oh man, you know, when you get oil and grease and stuff in your pores, it's hard to get it out. So I was embarrassed to even go to some of the things because I couldn't get that grease. No matter how many times I washed my hand, it still looked dirty. I was like, and I started getting the name of King Dirt. Look at King Dirt. Because I could not get the stuff out. And then all of a sudden the magic soap showed up. And we, y'all, do y'all hear my cows? I opened up the window because it's hot in the studio. And I have cows moon back there. Y'all hear that? She's loud. She's right here. Anyway, I want to also recognize Carrie Lucas's birthday. And so, with that being said, happy birthday. Oh, the cow's singing with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carrie. Happy birthday to you. All right, got it out. Anyway, so we want to wish her a happy birthday. And let's play one of her songs while we're doing that, all right? So this is dedicated to you, Carrie, for your birthday. God bless you and many, many more. We'll be back. Thank you.
lift my spirits up. So I dropped in on a day just to take a glance, and there's the sweet lovely thing was, she was more than enough. I asked her for a hand, said would you like to dance, so please that I
that, man. Don't stop the music, right? I mean, they're basically telling me what to do, so I need to listen to what they're telling me, right? And so I will do that. But I love Midnight Star. They just what an amazing band. They get out there and they do their thing, and man, they are definitely off chain. And like they said, I mean, they're pretty much responsible for bringing the deal into Solar. So wow, I love that confirmation. That's a beautiful thing. Anyway, so don't forget tomorrow, Solar Wants to Dance, and we're going to do our cardio, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple of things, and so we'll see how that goes in regards to a dementia. And so, and Alzheimer's, it's crazy. But, you know, there's just it's just a couple things, nothing too much. It's just something for us to pay attention to. It may be happening to someone in our family or to our friends or to us. You know, as we get older, you know, we need to pay attention. So we need to understand, you know, what we're dealing with, what's coming at us, and And so so that's why we try to do the health talk on the weekends, on Saturdays, just Saturday morning kind of evening for my friends overseas. Sorry about that, guys. Just kind of getting your day going and just sharing out a couple things. And for the most part, it's a cardio show. We just want to keep the music banging. but somehow I end up running into the love zone. I guess it just depends. So we'll see what happens. But God is good all the time. And I'm so grateful for you guys. And I thank him for bringing you guys into my life. All of the host of the shows, we want to keep Goldie in prayer. He's not feeling well. He hasn't been doing well for the last 2 weeks. So keep him in prayer. He fell down a flight of steps. And so, but we want to pray for him. And but all the hosts and associate producers is Greg and Astrid. We're so grateful for you guys. And, of course, the listeners. You guys are awesome. And so we just pray that you have a blessed weekend and enjoy your family and friends or whatever it is that you choose to do. And hopefully you'll come hang out with us on Solar Records Radio for a couple hours or so throughout the weekend. And then on Sunday, we'll be doing our praise show. So thank you so much, and I really appreciate you very, very much. That was Goldie Mac, one of our hosts who fell down the steps. And so, like I said, keep him in prayer. Definitely do that. And I will touch base with him, and I'll give you guys an update on Goldie's condition. All right. So anyway, you guys be blessed. Like I said, have a wonderful weekend. And take care of yourselves. And can we listen to that a little bit? Can we listen? Can you turn that up a little bit? Yeah. There you go. Oh, this is Collage. It's all good. We're going to one more question. This question is for Don. And so we're about to go out, so I wanted you to answer this question. We got about 3 minutes. The question is, what happened to the question? It had to do with, how did Don feel about the R&B changing in the 90s? Incorporated more rap and becoming more political and controversial. How do you feel about that?
That's a It's going to be a long answer. The answer is long, but I know we got about 2 minutes and some change. But to shorten it out, I didn't like the way it was going when rap started incorporating into R&B. But again, it served a purpose as far as, you know, good music. Good music is good music. And I didn't have a problem with it, but R&B started to lose a little bit of its identity when, you know, the norm was that you had to find a rapper. I'm going to sing a few verses, got to find a rapper. The political part, I didn't have any problem with it because that's how, you know, that was basically how black music was basically kind of interpreted through, you know, its origins was from an origin of the being marginalized. So I didn't have a problem from that aspect.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean,
we can talk about it a little bit more tomorrow on Solar Wants to Dance if, you know, anybody wants to bring it up.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit, yeah, I got to expound a little bit more on that just to kind of get people to understand where I was coming from on that. But in short, I didn't have a problem with the political message of it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys again. God protect our listeners and our friends and our associates. Keep Goldie Mac. We are keeping Goldie Mac in prayer as he heard himself falling down the steps. So we thank you for everything that you do for us, God. We love you much. All right, Don. God bless you, man. Enjoy your wife, and you guys have a blessed weekend.
You too, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, cool. 1 o'clock.
All right.
Our time. 2 p.m.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. See you guys. Bye, everybody. Bye, Astrid. Bye, Greg.